Where was the Mona Lisa painted? This geologist thinks she knows. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with current events and trending topics. You listen here, you get exposure to new ideas, new concepts in English, you get your mind thinking in English. And the good news is, we help you improve your skills along the way. The audio, as you can hear, goes a little slower than normal speed so you can understand every word. We also publish transcripts with built-in translations, quizzes, exercises, and we have lots of support at plainenglish.com. And in the second half of every lesson, we also show you how to use a common English expression. The story today is about the background of the world's most famous portrait. Everyone looks at the Mona Lisa's smile and at her eyes. But one geologist was looking at the background, and she wanted to know, where is this? And she thinks she has the answer. In the second half of today's lesson, you'll learn the English expression stand up to scrutiny, an excellent expression that you should know how to use. This is lesson 681, so you can find the full lesson resources at plainenglish.com/681. Before we dive into today's story, you've heard me mention some of the great ways our Plus membership can help you upgrade your English. And you might be curious about what that looks like. We've recently unlocked some free samples so that you can try out the premium features for yourself. Even if you don't join, you'll still learn something from the sample lessons. Sound good? Look for the link that says free samples at the top of plainenglish.com. I've also put a direct link to the samples at the bottom of the show notes of this episode. Now, we're ready to start today's story. The Mona Lisa is the most famous portrait painting in the world. It shows an ordinary-looking woman in a three-quarter pose. She's wearing modest clothing and no jewelry. She's got a mysterious smile on her face, and she's looking over the viewer's right shoulder. A lot is known about the Mona Lisa. It was painted by Leonardo da Vinci from the year 1503 to 1519, a span of 16 years. The painting was part of the French royal collection and was hidden from view for centuries. Napoleon briefly had it in his bedroom. Its permanent home, since the early 1800s, has been the Louvre Museum. The painting was stolen in 1931. Activists have thrown soup on it. About 10 million people visit the Louvre in Paris every year, and about 80% of them go only to see this one painting. Now, for all we know about the Mona Lisa, there is still a lot that is not known. The identity of the model, for example, has never been conclusively proved, though many historians agree it was probably Lisa Gherardini, the wife of a merchant from Florence. But one of the most vexing mysteries of the Mona Lisa is this: where was it painted? It's easy to look at the Mona Lisa and not think about the background. The background includes a lake, some limestone rocks, and a bridge. To see the bridge, you have to look very closely over Lisa's left shoulder, the shoulder on the right-hand side to the viewer. There, you can see a stone arch bridge over an inlet in the lake. Past efforts to pinpoint the Mona Lisa's location have centered on the bridge. About a year ago, an Italian historian declared the background was Arezzo. The bridge in the painting had six arches, while a stone bridge over a river in Arezzo had six arches also, and they were about the right size. Da Vinci was known to have visited the area. But there's no lake, and in the Mona Lisa, there is very clearly a lake over her shoulder, with rocks surrounding it. What's more, stone bridges were very common in northern Italy in the 1500s. Skeptics said that you need more than a bridge to conclusively identify the background of the portrait. Da Vinci, more than other artists of his time, insisted on depicting nature accurately. He's been called the most scientific artist ever. It would be strange for him to insert a lake where there wasn't one. But now, another historian has claimed to have pinpointed the Mona Lisa's location. Anne Pissarusso is a geologist and an art historian. She focuses on the geology, the rocks, the lake, the natural environment. She claims the location was Lecco in the Lombardy region of northern Italy. This location, she says, has it all. The lake is Lake Garlatti. The bridge is the Visconti Bridge, built in the 14th century and still standing today. And the limestone rocks of the Lecco region match the gray-white color and depiction in the painting. Pissarusso's theory combines several pieces of evidence: the lake, the rocks, the topography, the bridge, and finally, Da Vinci's own records. His notebooks show that he spent a lot of time in the Lecco region. So is this the definitive answer? Possibly. Time will tell if the recent analysis stands up to scrutiny over the years, but several prominent art historians and Da Vinci experts have endorsed Lecco as the location. The Mona Lisa. I have seen it in person. I was 14. All I remember is the crowds of people with their cameras. I have seen images of the Mona Lisa online any number of times. I confess I never noticed the bridge until today. Even after I read there was a bridge, and even when I was specifically looking for it, I still couldn't see it until I found an image with the bridge circled. That just goes to show you, you can't know a painting unless you look at it for a very long time. In lesson 497, I described how I looked at a single painting for an hour. This was a modified version of an art school challenge to look at one painting for 3 hours. Now, looking at one painting for an hour is a good thing to do, so check out plainenglish.com/497 to hear how it went. Now, you'll never be able to do this with the Mona Lisa, not with the crowds, but try it with a painting at a quiet museum near you. Stand up. We all know what that means, right? If you're sitting down and you get up onto your feet, now you're vertical, you're standing up. But today, I've got a new way to use stand up. We use stand up with a theory or an argument, something that is not certain. And stand up to scrutiny means that the theory or the argument stays valid, stays believable, even under close analysis and scrutiny. Scrutiny means like careful examination. If someone looks closely and carefully at something, they scrutinize it. Now, I told you a few weeks ago I was going to read a new Stephen King book. I hadn't read a Stephen King book in a long time, so I started one called The Outsiders. And no spoilers, but a popular sports coach is accused of a terrible crime. But he, the coach, the accused, he has an alibi. He says he was in another city. That's an alibi, your story about where you were when a crime was committed is your alibi. And one of the questions in the first half of the book is whether the coach's alibi stands up to scrutiny. That means when someone looks closely at the coach's alibi, when someone analyzes it, when someone looks at the evidence, will the coach's alibi remain valid or will it be discredited? That's the question. Will it stand up to scrutiny? Do you remember the story about the curator at the British Museum? He was accused of stealing small objects from the museum's archives and selling them on eBay. He invented an identity. This is alleged. This has not been proven yet. But he invented an identity and said a relative had died, and he discovered these artifacts in the dead relative's house. And he was just now putting them up for sale. Didn't know what they were. But as you learned, and it was lesson 639, you learned that story didn't stand up to scrutiny. His payment profile didn't match his eBay name, and the payment profile matched the name of a curator at the British Museum. And these objects for sale were missing from, you guessed it, the British Museum. A criminal mastermind, this guy was not. His story didn't stand up to scrutiny. And it wasn't even the police or the museum who discovered it. It was a customer on eBay. Crazy story. Check it out, plainenglish.com/639. If you want to hear the whole thing, stand up to scrutiny is not just used with truth and lies, crime and justice. It can be used with any argument. A geologist and art historian says she has found the location of the Mona Lisa. The background has never conclusively been identified. There have been theories, but now a geologist says she has matched the geographic features in the painting's background with a specific area in Italy. And she also says she has evidence from Da Vinci's notebooks that he was there? The answer? Lecco is the site of the Mona Lisa, the scientist argues. Will that argument stand up to scrutiny? Time will tell, because you know there will be scrutiny. The Mona Lisa is the most famous portrait, maybe the most famous painting in all of history. Everyone will want to analyze, to scrutinize this new theory. You know people will go to that area and take photos. They'll use drones. They'll analyze every word written in Da Vinci's notebooks. And if there are flaws in this theory, people will find them. So is Lecco where the Mona Lisa was painted? The theory sounds good, to me anyway, a non-artist and non-scientist, but there will be lots of scrutiny in the next few years. We'll soon know if this theory stands up to scrutiny. Who, by the way, is the woman in the painting? It's not known conclusively, but the most popular theory is that it's Lisa Gherardini. That theory has stood up to scrutiny over the years, though it's not known 100% for sure. It's now widely accepted that the woman is Lisa Gherardini. Lesson 649 was all about academic studies and how, well, let's just say many of the findings you read about in journal articles don't stand up to scrutiny. Many of them do. The majority of studies published in high-quality, prestigious journals are honest and valid, but some of them do not stand up to scrutiny. And the problem is there isn't much scrutiny involved. The system of publishing scientific findings is largely based on the honor system. But a group of skeptical academics started a blog, and they looked at a lot of popular studies and found the findings don't stand up to scrutiny. You might remember that one of the studies that didn't stand up to scrutiny was about dishonesty. How's that for irony? Well, that's all for us here at Plain English today. Thursday, June 6th, we're almost halfway through the year. June 6th already. Remember, this was lesson number 681. That means JR has uploaded the full transcript to plainenglish.com/681. Now, today I mentioned a few other stories we've done in the past, and we'll link to them in the transcript if you want to get them, but we'll also link to them in the newsletter that JR sends out. He sends an email every Monday and Thursday with details of that day's lesson, plus some interesting links and quizzes that we think you'll enjoy. So if you're not getting those, go to plainenglish.com/mail, M-A-I-L, and make sure to sign up. plainenglish.com/mail, M-A-I-L, to sign up and get JR's emails every Monday and Thursday. We'll be back next week with a new topic. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website plainenglish.com. A lot of plainenglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, At plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says free samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says free samples at the top of plainenglish.com.